Let's rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the second book of Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. Now, the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." And the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So far, some of our text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is praised by angel hosts, and who sends angels to serve the believers in Christ, dear fellow redeemed. Have you looked at a picture and seen something, and then we're told to look at a certain portion of that picture, and something else shows up? It's kind of amazing how people can paint a picture, and you look at it, and you glance at it, and you see one thing, but then when you look at something else, all of a sudden, something else pops to your eye that you didn't see when you just glanced at it the first time. Well, the same can be said when you look at the history of this world. When you look at world history from a secular viewpoint, you see one thing. When we closely examine world history from God's viewpoint, you see something entirely different. And probably nowhere is this better demonstrated than in our text this morning, where we hear from our text that if we view life from God's perspective, that means we have opened eyes to see God's unseen army. In our day and age of technology, we have satellites and listening devices so that we can detect where people are hiding and what they're saying from many, many miles away. But that's not what God used when he knew of the planning and the plotting and frustrated the king of Syria and his attacks upon Israel. He uses omniscience. He knew what the king was planning. He heard what he was plotting when he was talking to his generals. And in some miraculous way, he revealed all of that to Elisha. So whenever the king of Syria planned a secret attack upon the Israelites and went to that place, the Israelites were already there and were ready. This happened more than a few times. And, of course, the king of Syria immediately believed that one of his men was a traitor, revealing secrets to the king of Israel. And so he accused his officers and said, "Will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel?" It was not man that revealed the plans and plots. It was God. And one of those servants knew that. And so he said to the king, "None, my lord, O king, none of us are traitors. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." They must have known that they were dealing with a greater power than themselves. And the king probably knew that too. But it didn't stop him in his blindness to say, "Go and arrest that man." How foolish is that? If Elisha knew all of his plans when he was going to go attack Israel, do you think he'd also know the plan that he was going to be arrested? But it didn't matter. He went to attack or to arrest Elisha, we're told. "Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city." Like a good field general, the king was not going to take any chances. Maybe he had heard what happened a few years earlier when the king of Israel, Ahaziah, went to arrest Elijah, Elisha's predecessor. He was seen on top of the hill. The king sent a general and 50 men to arrest him. And when they got to the hill, fire came down and consumed them all. So he sent another general and 50 more men to arrest him. And fire came down and consumed them all too. God protects his prophets. But the king of Syria is no dummy. He didn't send 50 men. He sent a large, large army to completely surround the whole city. There was no escape. He sent so many men that there is no way that God could protect and deliver his prophet. So he thought. Again, what folly. Man thinks that numbers makes a difference. But with God, whether there are 50 or 50 million against him, makes no difference at all. But for the servant of Elisha, it really did make a difference. He woke up early the next morning, and he looked outside, and he saw, covering the hills and the valleys, horses, chariots, and a multitude of enemy soldiers all around the city, and he cried out in despair, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He forgot how often the Lord had delivered Elisha in so many other inescapable situations, in so many other dire straits, in so many other grim encounters. He lacked the eyes of faith to see the unseen army surrounding him and Elisha. He didn't view life from God's perspective. And before we tisk at him too much, isn't that so true of every single one of us? Be the problem or situation big or small, life-threatening or life-changing, so often we first of all despair and cry out, "Oh Lord, what shall I do?" Our children become gravely ill. We are diagnosed with a severe illness or disease, and we panic. There's a threat of our losing our job. We wring our hands with worry. We have financial loss, and fear fills our hearts. Troubles, trials beset us, and we quickly despair. We have some serious, serious discussions, and we have to make some decisions, and we don't know where to turn. So often, we too see the problems and the trials and the troubles that surround us and don't see God's protection and God's deliverance that surrounds us. So God has to come to us too with the same words that Elisha brought to his servant, and he said, "Do not fear." How often have we heard that? Do not be afraid. Do not fear. Jesus said those words to his disciples many, many times. The angel said it to the shepherds when Jesus was born. The angel said to the women at the empty tomb, "Do not be afraid." And yet our timid, fear-filled, and often blind hearts look at this world from our own perspective, and then it's really scary and we even fear all the more. When you think of it, we really are surrounded by a lot of dangers, aren't we? I mean, there are accidents that could happen. Illnesses. Diseases. There's bad people out there. Robbers and murderers and rapists. There's death. Weather disasters. Financial problems. The government has economic problems. Terrorism. Nuclear wars. The list of calamities could go on and on and on. And from man's point of view, our odds aren't very good. If you do happen to live through a life of pretty good health without some serious disease, well, you are lucky. Or if you did get some bad problems in your life, that was very unlucky. Bad karma. Bad fate. The child of God, the believer in Christ, on the other hand, looks at life from God's perspective. There's no such thing as luck in this world. There is no blind fate or karma that we're all prisoners to. No, there's only the loving Heavenly Father who deals with us as a shepherd, dealing with his little lambs, guiding and protecting, leading and providing for us. And many times, unseen to us, he uses his army of angels. Elijah said to his servant, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then he prayed, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And in answer to the prayer, the Lord opened the eyes of that servant so that he could see what normally could not be seen. And we're told, "And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." What a marvelous sight that must have been. Can you imagine the young servant's eyes, bug-eyed, seeing all around him these angels that normally could not be seen? The scriptures are filled with references to God's spiritual beings as angels. Angels appeared to Abraham. They appeared to Jacob. They rescued Lot and his family from Sodom and Gomorrah. We're told in Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." Psalm 91, "For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Daniel was protected by angels in the lion's den. An angel led Mary and Joseph in their flight to Egypt. In our second reading this morning, we heard of an angel who miraculously set Peter free from prison. And a few chapters earlier in Acts, an angel also led several of the apostles free from prison. In Matthew 18, verse 10, Jesus tells us, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." In the book of Hebrews, we're told that angels are ministering spirits, that's servants of God, sent to serve those who are to inherit eternal life, that is, the believers in Christ Jesus. Angels rejoice over one sinner who repents and is brought to faith in Christ Jesus. Angels were at most the major events of God's kingdom. Angels prophesied about Jesus' incarnation. An angel was there at his birth. Angels announced his resurrection. Angels announced his coming again on Judgment Day at his ascension. And there will be angels with Jesus on the last great day of judgment. So what about us? Can we look back at our lives and see God's active presence protecting, guarding, watching over us by his unseen army of angels? Or have we passed those situations off as lucky breaks, chance happenings, good karma, or fate? One man wrote, "The clearer sight we have of the power of heaven, the less we fear the calamities of this earth." We should indeed thank our Heavenly Father for all of His blessings and for sending His angels to watch over us, to protect us, to guide us for our welfare. This they do every single day of our lives, without any fanfare, with no recognition, without us even seeing them or knowing about it. But we can still view life from God's perspective. But we should not religiously worship angels. We shouldn't pray to them. We shouldn't honor them as we honor God. For they remain created beings, unseen spiritual beings created by God. In Revelation 22, we hear them tell the Apostle John, who had fallen down before one angel to worship him, and the angel said, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God." How often we fret. How often we fear. How often we worry. How often we doubt. And how often we despair. As we still bask in the glorious message of 2 weeks ago, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that Jesus shed His blood upon the cross and then rose again to conquer sin, death, Satan, and hell. Heaven is ours. Eternal life is secure to every single one of us. And every day of our lives, God sends His angels to also watch over us, protect us, guard us. May our eyes of faith remain open to see our Father's goodness. Remain open to see our Heavenly Father's forgiving love to all of us through Jesus Christ. And also be able to see that unseen army of His spirits, His servants, watching over us as well. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Knit in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Congregation may be seated, and offering of our thankful hearts will now be received.
Jesus, our risen Savior, truly you are our good shepherd, for you gave your life for us, your sheep. Truly it was your great love for us sinners who were lost and straying that moved you to come into this world to live, to suffer, to die, and to rise again, that we might have the life that does not end. Good Shepherd, we owe you heartfelt thanks and praise and our continual love and devotion for all that you have done and still do to ensure our earthly and eternal welfare. It is true we have become your sheep by trusting that you are our Savior and God. Nevertheless, we must confess that we still have a rebellious old Adam that is stubborn and sinful and continually leads us astray. Therefore, we need your loving patience as our Good Shepherd to deliver us from our sinful ways, to protect us from our own foolishness, and to forgive our many sins. We need you to take the evils and dangers that beset us and turn them to our good. We need you to hear and answer our prayers. We need to hear and heed the sound of your voice as you speak to us in your word. Do not, on account of our sins and stubbornness, turn away from us. Our Shepherd, by your continual presence and comfort, cheer us in every journey we must make through the dark, shadowy valleys of this life. Satisfy us with the green pastures of your word, and there nourish our faith. Quench our thirst for righteousness with the refreshing streams of salvation. When we are oppressed on every hand by troubles, distress, temptations, sickness, sin, and heartache, yes, even when life seems too difficult to endure, teach us to turn our eyes of faith to you, the Good Shepherd, to cast all our cares upon you. Answer our anxious cries, for only you know what is best for us. Refresh us with your help and guidance, your protection, and your healing. Especially when we walk through the valley of death itself, be with us, Shepherd and Overseer of our souls. Chase away the gloom that surrounds us with the bright promise of salvation, filling us with joy and confidence as one by one we journey from this life to heaven. Cause goodness and mercy to follow us the rest of our days. Hear us, merciful Savior and Shepherd, as we join together praying the confident prayer you taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so we see we'll continue next time.
Thank you.
bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace.
Savior with us again. This morning we have our quarterly voters meeting. We encourage all of our voters to stay for this important meeting. Tuesday is Bible class at Hope Park Place at 10:30. Reminder to our ladies, we have Hannah's Helping Hands this Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our Bible class again resumes Wednesday at 7 p.m. This Friday is ILC Visitor's Day for middle school. This only takes the 7th and 8th graders up to ILC for Visitor's Day. Also, this is the CLC Women's Retreat Weekend, next weekend, in La Crosse. I wish all of you safe travels if you're going there as well. There are some events that have been moved from this Thursday and Friday. Thursday, I was going to be going to Marcus Zandt for Pastor Study Club. It's been moved to next a week, this Thursday. And also, this Friday was supposed to be Family Fun Night. That has also been moved to a week from Friday. Reminder also, our Spring Cleanup Day has been set for May 1st. Saturday. If you have time to come over and help us with that, we encourage that. And any other announcements that you made at this time? Yes?
May I hold up parents of the Visitor's Day students meet afterwards, please?
Okay. Anything else?
good.